Magnolia and the lilac?
No, well, different seasons, but, you know, in the early spring, you get that lilac flower, or the magnolia flower.
Oh, yeah.
It smells so good when those magnolia trees bloom, and then later on, you get that lilac, when those lilac bushes bloom.
That's right.
Damn, man. That smells good. Especially people around here, they'll have, like, their whole backyard lined with them. Man, that smells good.
I like the cherry blossoms as well.
Yeah, it's gayer, so I assume you would.
3/4. I like to stay in character as often as possible.
Nah, I'm just kidding. Yeah, cherry blossoms are awesome.
All right, they, man.
What are those crabapple trees? Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Well, little Stevie Wonder, was he part of the Motown? I just did the Motown Greatest Hits something or other on Spotify, and it brought in the Stevie, and I love the Stevie, so I just rolled with it. But, you know, my favorite part about Stevie is, you know, I'm a tinfoil hat guy, nut job certified, so I love the theory that he's not actually blind. It's my favorite.
Oh, I know.
Favorite conspiracy out there.
With Motown when he was 11 years old.
Wow, 11?
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
I know.
All right. Well, you know, sometimes these people, there are these, it's not phenomenon, what is it? It's the trait where they're naturally gifted from the get-go. Like Mozart wrote one of his first symphonies when he was like 5 years old. When you look at, dude, Mozart's crazy. He died at 36, man. And he's like,
dude,
one.
Mozart died at 36?
And he's one of the most prolific composers of all time. He has the most impressive catalog. I love Mozart. And yeah, he died at 36. Ah. He started composing like before he could like change his own diaper. I don't know. It was crazy. Like he was.
Wow. That's how old I am, dude. I can't imagine.
And
that
I was
right
the
now.
Word I was thinking of was prodigy. A musical prodigy, which is what Mozart was, and it's possible. Same could be said about our blind, allegedly blind friend, Stevie Wonder, who all you need to do with Stevie is look up these hilarious clips on the old YouTubes of him catching falling microphone stands or waving to people who waved to him from the crowd, you know?
Or
like,
guiding female singers around an obstacle.
It's
dude,
crazy.
Have you heard the Shaq story of Stevie Wonder? Did I play it on here before?
I believe you mentioned it to us on here where
Do you
want
to hear it?
Do you have it? I'm sure. Yeah, we.
I got it lined. I got it
if
queued
you
up.
Got
here.
It. Yeah, absolutely. I'll listen to it anytime.
Oh, this is. I love Shaq. Ready?
I want to start with you. I'm not going to believe it.
Come on, man.
No, I
know. I know the story. He's got to tell it.
I wouldn't
believe
it.
He's got to tell it, Ernie. I know the story. He told me he's got to tell a story.
All right,
he's
go got for
to
it.
Tell a story.
So, it's a true story.
It's
a true story. So,
according to Shaq,
we lived in a building on Wilshire. So, you park your car in the valets down there. So, I'm already in the building. I'm coming through the lobby. Door opens. It's Stevie Wonder. He comes in, says, "What's up, Shaq?" Presses the button. Oh, it's your story. Presses the button, gets up on the floor, bathtub, goes to his room. I went and called every person I knew and told him to turn. They believe me. Oh, bro, he got on the elevator. He's like, "What's up, Shaq? How you doing, big dog?" Yes, he did. Yep. Wilshire Boulevard. Yep.
All right.
His whole thing is you can't. He came up in the elevator. He was in the lobby. So
right.
That means Stevie Wonder parked in the parking lot and then came up in the elevator.
Parked his car.
Shaq.
And everybody
yeah.
in Colorado knows the famous story from Nederland where I believe it was Joe Walsh had a recording studio and him and Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder and another musician got into the car and they let Stevie drive down the street from the bar. It's a famous story out of Nederland. But, you know, I think the guy could see for the most part, but maybe had some partial blindness and just leaned into it because it makes you more spectacular of a musician if, you know, you're blind. Like, how does this guy, how do you learn how to play the piano if he's blind, man?
I have heard that it's just like a thing where he can see shadows.
Okay.
So he's like legally blind. Because if you're legally blind, I mean, think about it, if you couldn't like decipher outlines of objects, but you could like see shadows and light.
Right.
Know?
And what other shadow is comparable to Shaq? Like, there's only
to
one.
Shaq.
There's only one Shaq shadow out there. It's
maybe
Shaq.
Death himself.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No, you're right, dude. You see like a 7'4" shadow, you're like, Shaq. There's like a 40% chance you're right. You know?
Oh man, well, that's awesome. I was watching basketball last night. There was a great matchup between the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. LeBron versus Steph Curry. A classic matchup, if you will. But they threw out an interesting stat that I had never seen brought up before, and I find this to be kind of fascinating because not a lot of people know the true background of LeBron, or I think he doesn't know who his father is, and it's kind of outrageous because he is one of the most gifted, naturally talented physical specimens of the modern athletic world. But he was born in the same hospital as Steph Curry.
Whoa.
Which I find crazy to be a coincidence. And there's a lot of theories out there that speculate LeBron was the product of some sort of government testing, which is why he doesn't know the true identity of his father. But, you know, for both of them to come out of the same hospital, I mean, maybe this is a hospital with deep ties to the secret organizations and, you know, those who are maybe playing around with genetics, right?
Yeah, I just looked it up. They said his father is Anthony McClelland,
who's
a criminal and...
Oh, really? LeBron?
Yeah.
Oh, he now knows, or it's become...
That's what they're saying. Yeah, he knows who his father is, and he was just a criminal who was sleeping with multiple women, had impregnated his mom, but then also impregnated another woman who he ended up leaving.
Sounds like a great cover story so they could hide the fact that he was created in a lab.
What I'm really waiting for is his twin.
Right. Or who's his brother? Like,
you know, you had Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito, you know?
Oh,
who's the
yes.
LeBron Danny DeVito?
Wow. I like that.
I guess it's Kevin Hart.
It might be Kevin Hart. I think you're right. They might be the same age, man. I think we're onto something here. Yeah.
Kevin Hart was just the leftover.
Oh, God. Dude, the Kevin Hart-Cat Williams feud keeps rolling, man. They keep jabbing at each other. Like, Cat Williams is adamant that he decided to not go along with the Illuminati child sacrificing stuff, and so they went to Kevin Hart, and he got the career that was originally promised to Cat Williams.
Yeah.
It's all alleged.
It's hard for me to believe, because like you don't even know who to believe, because... You know, Kevin Hart talks about how, like, dude, you just weren't willing to do the shit they wanted you to do, and so that's why, you know what I mean? And it's almost like, yeah, it's the same thing with me in the union. It's like, I'm not offended that somebody who doesn't score as good as me is getting offered different things because I don't want to play the political game.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like any field you go into, so it doesn't matter if you want to be an actor, a comedian, or a plumber. Or an electrician. It doesn't matter what field you go into. You could be a nurse. You could be whatever the job is. There is a job performance category, and then there's a political category. And that's every job. And if you could be the best at the job, but if you're not willing to if you're not willing or able to play the political game of that career, you're just not going to get as far as somebody who is just as good, maybe even a like in my world, you could be a slightly worse plumber than me, right? Actually, you could be a worse plumber, but if you're better at the social and political game in the union, you're gonna move up. You know what I mean? Like, I work with a guy who's a very, very good plumber. He knows about plumbing. He's an older plumber. He's very good, but he's an asshole to work with. Nobody wants to work with him.
He's some piece of shit Polak that just thinks he's better than everybody. And maybe you are. You might be better than everybody. But the reason the 36-year-old got promoted over you, and the reason he's your superintendent, is because you're an asshole. You couldn't play the political game. You know what I mean? And all of life is about performance and social game. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I worked with a guy. He was older than me, about 10 years or so. Used to be a musician in the West Coast, California. He was in a kind of punk rock band. They were semi-professional. They were signed to a label, did a lot of localized and statewide touring. And in late 80s, 88-ish, 89, they went on a more kind of nationalized multi-state tour, and the band that opened for them on that tour were a bunch of jackasses that he really didn't care for. They were called Green Day. And he said that what was crazy about them is they were shameless self-promoters, and the leader of the band, Billy Joel Armstrong, was relentless in his push for the band and playing the politics of the music industry. And he was adamant that at that time, he played with far better musical acts throughout that later half of the 80s. But for some reason, nobody ever heard of any of them. And the one band that is still performing today is Green Day.
Because they play, there's a dual aspect to fame.
Absolutely.
You have to be good, not the best. You have to be good and good at the politics, the social aspect. You know what I mean?
Yes, for sure.
That's all of life.
And when it comes to Green Day, they went all in on like politics, and to the point where they're changing their lyrics.
We're not part of the MAGA agenda. You know what I mean? Come on.
That's right.
They promoted him in Green Day in the 80s. They knew 30 years later he would sing against Trump. You know what I mean? They knew they could control him.
Oh, man. It's crazy stuff, right?
But you know what I mean? That's all of life. You could be the best fill in the blank. It doesn't matter. Is LeBron James really the best? He's the best promoter. Is DJ Khaled the best? He's the best promoter. You know,
absolutely.
Were there any white rappers better than Eminem? Probably, but he was the best promoter. He was able to sell himself to the black labels, you know?
I don't know. I was reading an interview, or it was a scripted version of a podcast interview that I think Dr. Dre did recently, a couple days ago, and he was asked about who he believed to be the best MC in the industry, and he said nobody before or after compares to Eminem, and Eminem is without a doubt the greatest rapper of all time.
Yeah, he might actually be the best. That was a bad example. He might actually be the best.
I find it interesting, and they were kind of really pressing him on how could he possibly believe that this white dude from Detroit is the best rapper of all time, and it's just, come on, it doesn't matter what ethnicity you are. The guy is a lyrical master, man. Like,
Let's be real. A white dude from Detroit is blacker than a black dude from Chicago.
I know. You know what I mean? A lot of good talent comes from Detroit, man.
Because they live in real poverty, real shit.
The true
talent
hard knocks.
Comes from garbage.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, man.
What makes diamonds? Pressure.
Yes.
And apparently low income.
Yeah, and undrinkable water. Where are my Flint fans at? Ayo. Come on.
What they thrive on.
I just find that interesting. So Dr. Dre getting a lot of heat in the hip-hop universe for claiming that Eminem still top of the mountain there, maybe the premier face of the
interesting
Mount
Dr.
Rushmore.
Dre, no charges, huh? No,
wow.
Like sex accusations or anything like that. Like his label never really made it like Jay-Z, but also none of that other bullshit, you know?
You don't really get Dr. Dre connected to all the secret society stuff like you do with Jay-Z and his Illuminati connection. And then Dre also...
Is he married to Beyonce? J. Jay-Z, right?
Yeah. Jay-Z, you got it yeah. right. Yeah, Don Cheadle. Yeah. And
two for two.
That's right, man. And, you know, Dre also not really in any way, from what I'm hearing, connected to any of the Diddy rape stuff and trafficking nonsense. So, I mean, all right, maybe he escapes. Maybe he wasn't part of all that wackiness. Who knows? I think for sure.
And I think that's also why his flame died quickly, you know?
Wow, right. So are we to think maybe Ice Cube a part of the secret society mumbo jumbo? I mean,
bro, you got a movie straight out of Compton. Clearly you suck dick when you're a kid and you're having right. kids suck your dick. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, Ice Cube ended up having himself quite the career. Friday, the
Anaconda,
all the other Fridays, and the barbershop franchise, and
Anaconda.
Anaconda, you seem to really be into the Anaconda.
John Voight, he made a movie with John Voight.
I know, they don't let John Voight into Hollywood anymore. He's been banned. And
definitely
dude.
Not near the blacks.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of Hollywood and inclusivity, I saw our favorite actress turned actor, Elliot Page, really going for it lately, saying that LGBT cinema is no longer a niche, that it, you know, this is now, they got to make it the main part of the identity of Hollywood. And it's like, dude, have you watched anything from Disney in the last 3 years?
I mean, dude, her argument was that the next, like this new generation, 30% are gay. So gay is not niche. Okay. Now I don't even care about your movies and your acting. We need to worry about the fact that 30% of this next generation is gay. That's like right. a whole nother, well, you know?
Maybe it's the stuff you guys are producing that's telling these younger kids to go in other directions, man. Little influence going on here? All right. I love the Elliot Page. I'm glad that... I can't wait for the Best Actor Award to go to the Elliot Page.
Is it gay if you think she's still cute? Is that like a...
I think you're treading into the BTO Korean boy band territory.
I'm not saying
here.
Still cute. I'm just saying, like, if, you know, we all go to prison, that's the one I'm fucking. If she's not there, I'll take the BTO guys. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
but,
man.
You know, she's my first pick. If I'm on the yard, that's my first pick. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I think if you come to Colorado, Elliot will be in their own facility over there somewhere.
I don't know. I'm just saying, in my mind, a man vagina is still less gay than a woman dick. Is that...
So right there, my head just exploded. I don't even know how to respond.
Gun to my head, I'm fucking the man with a vagina over the woman with a dick. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, God, dude.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same boat there. Can you explain turf to me one more time before we go forward?
J.K. Rowling, Frank. Come on.
Oh, man, we're in a topsy-turvy world. It's all these medications, man. I was watching TV last night. The ball game was on, and they kept playing the same commercial. It was, and I had to write it down. That's how obsessed I became with it. It was Bimzelx, B-I-M-Z-E-L-X, Bimzelx. I don't recall precisely what it's for. It might be psoriasis. Everything is for psoriasis now on TV. However, they kept talking. The commercial played 100 times, so I saw it. You know, I kept kind of honing in on what was really noticeable to me, which is they were going through the typical list of side effects, and they were the same as the other drugs, but they were really harping on. This is what got me was side effects include suicidal thoughts. All right. They said that one of the side effects are You get suicidal thoughts. And I kept thinking...
Yeah, but while you're killing yourself, you won't have itchy skin.
I know, but...
Yeah.
No, dude, here's what kind of got me. Is I thought in my head, what if I eliminated the word suicidal, all right? And I replay that sentence, and it's... The side effects may include thoughts. Like, I'm taking a medication that gives me thoughts? That should be a red flag. Eliminate any other word before it. The fact that we're taking medications that give us thoughts, and we can't seem to figure out why we have a rise in mass shootings and suicides and people, you know, changing genders and, you know, like going totally insane. Like, maybe the fact that we're completely medicated throughout our entire lives with drugs that have side effects of this gives you thoughts. Thoughts that weren't originally there.
Dude, the one thing that nobody picked up, I haven't seen one person talk about it yet. The worst part of Bill Maher's show on Friday is he pointed out the statistic that 30 or 40% of the people on SSRIs have never had a diagnosis of depression.
Wow.
And like, wow. To me, that is the biggest red flag. So you have people out there who are on SSRIs and they've never had an actual diagnosis. And that is one of the most severe drugs you could ever take. It causes this, like, what do they call it? Dissociative disorder, where you're like, you don't even really feel like a real person living in a real world.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff, man. Putting thoughts into the mind. That's creepy, man. I never really kind of thought about it until the commercial put the thought into my mind. Whoa! Oh! Dude!
Manipulated. Frank's compromised.
Ketchup on the wall. Ketchup on the wall.
It was top of mind.
Now I guess I'm a part of the system. I've been brainwashed. It's official.
I told you not to watch sports.
I can't stop gambling, man. I'm obsessed.
Tune in for the Dude Woman podcast next week where Frank transitions.
They've made it so easy to gamble. And like it's bad weather out there, and I'm like, I'll throw $20 on the Nuggets game. It's good. I got nothing else to do. Crack open a couple brews, smoke a bowl, watch myself lose all my money.
Oh, you don't know how many guys I know who do like multiple websites.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy. You're not going to win. The house always wins. The odds are against you. Plus, they're rigging the games. Did you see that clip of that NBA player?
Okay, I think I told you about this. The one who got ejected because he made the money symbol with his hands as he got ejected.
Yeah,
and he,
at the ref.
And then
yeah.
he doubled down in the presser after the game and said in the microphone, these games would be better if the refs weren't gambling so much on the games.
It's incredible. And everybody just ignores that. Dude, it's all fake. It's all fake. Come on. Taylor Swift won the Super Bowl, guys. Come on. Come on. People, open your eyes.
Yes, you man. Know? Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, it's funny to see the players react to it now. I mean, are you guys just realizing that this game you've dedicated your whole lives to is rigged? I mean, there have been books and podcasts about this for the last two decades. I mean, you know, it was exposed in the 90s that all the refs come out of the same city in Jersey. And they're all...
One of the most mob-connected cities. That's what I hate is when they're like, oh, they believe it's Taylor Swift. It's a conspiracy so that they can get Joe Biden to win the election. Nobody's ever connected sports with Joe Biden. The mob is owning these games to make money. It goes all the way back. I don't give a fuck about Joe Biden. No, they're there to make money. It's the mob. You know, you heard about the Bears in Arlington Heights?
It fell through, from what I understand. They are no longer leaving Chicago.
Yeah, the Arlington Heights, Illinois, decided to try to negotiate with the mob that is the NFL.
That's right.
And those guys just said, fuck you. We bought this land, demolished this. It's insane.
Yeah, so they're not moving. And now also, they're going to build they're going to remodel or build something new there in Chicago for the Bears. And the Bears now have the number one pick. They just traded Justin Fields, another bust quarterback pick from the past. And they're going to probably, I predict, win the Super Bowl in 3 years. With their new stadium. Yes, they're going to win the Super Bowl with the new stadium.
They all do. The fucking Saints. Remember when the Rams move, build this new stadium, they get a quarterback from the fucking grocery store, and oh my God, they win the Super Bowl. Am I wrong? Stop me when I'm wrong. Stop me when I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Literally the story of the Rams.
You're combining a few different genres and eras, but you're on it. You're right on the money.
Give me that one, right?
I'm going to give it to you. B plus. But you nailed it. LA built a $1.2 billion sports complex arena city with stores and bars and restaurants and the stadium. And they scored the Rams from St. Louis and the Chargers from San Diego. So they have the two football teams there. And then all of a sudden, one of those two teams, 3 years later, happens to win the Super Bowl.
No, you don't remember when the Rams won with Kurt Warner?
I do. That was the greatest show on turf. I do remember that season. That was incredible. It was 1998, maybe? I could be off. Oh, yeah, maybe 2000. I think 1990.
It was in the 2000s.
2002? Nah, I don't know, man. I'm telling you, maybe 2002.
No, it was later. Oh, you're right, 1999. That was 99. I'm sold.
The greatest show on turf, man. I remember Kurt Warner. Yes, he was just bagging groceries in the offseason. They called him on the old rotary phone. They said, Kurt, can you make it? Can you make it? He goes, I'm firing up the blimp.
He picked up his blueberry and he texted back, be there in a minute. No, that was even before the blueberry. Was that 99? Yeah. Holy shit.
I think
Wasn't
so,
that
man.
Right after they moved to St. Louis, though? They were only there for a few years.
Yeah, I can't remember when they got to St. Louis or how long they were there for, but they were in St. Louis that year, and they had maybe probably just built the new stadium. That's probably what happened. Whenever the new stadium goes up, the team wins the championship.
They have to.
That's how sports
ball
works.
Money.
Yeah, I know. It's the only way to make it work, man. And then ultimately, you know, if you know the system, right? You're behind all the rigging, which it's the mafia. They're the ones that are running the show in Vegas. Who's been running Vegas since the day Vegas was incepted? The mafia.
The mob. Yeah, come on.
So, like, and who runs sports? Well, it's Vegas. So it's not too hard to connect the idea that the mob runs sports, man.
I know. It's all controlled, man. And for those that think I'm wrong, for basketball, all you need is a couple of refs. For football, all you need is the quarterback, you know?
Oh, it doesn't need to be this grand conspiracy where everyone's bought in. In fact, no single player needs to be bought in.
For football, you just need the quarterback. That's all you need.
Yeah, and I could see a lot of the quarterbacks throwing the games here. Emma, who she's a Baltimore Ravens fan, and we went to a viewing party where they played the Chiefs, and I kept telling her, I'm sorry, but they're playing Taylor Swift. We know who advances to the next round. It's written in stone here, all right?
Dude, so many people were like mad at me before the Super Bowl when I would say, like, dude, you know Taylor Swift's going to the Super Bowl. And then when the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl, everybody was like, you know, whatever, it doesn't mean anything. And I'd be like, no, Taylor Swift's going to win the Super Bowl. And then when they won, everybody was just like, they're so mad about it. You know, that, oh, it's just the best team. Like, no, it's all about money.
Well, because
money runs this world.
It's just in the stats. You just have to look at the viewership. They had 20 million more viewers year over year from the previous Super Bowl, and there was only one difference between the games. Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift was at the game, man. That's the whole difference.
But it doesn't even, it's not even that, it's how many people bet against Taylor's. It was a win-win for everybody. People were betting against the Chiefs, right? Because of the statistics. And women were watching it because of Taylor Swift. So it was a win-win.
I mean, I was watching it for Taylor Swift. I wanted to see how many times they showed Taylor.
I couldn't wait to see her new jacket.
I just needed to know what shade of red she was wearing on those lips, baby.
I had to see what Ice Spice was going to do.
Yeah, well, I needed to be able to mimic the Satan-worshipping ritual that Ice Spice performed in the third quarter that broke the ankle of the defender on the San Francisco 49ers.
And then Ice Spice came out with a porno. You saw that?
No, I'm not familiar with the Ice Spice porn. All right, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't see it either, but apparently she dropped a porn. That's what I saw some pictures. Some guys were talking about it.
Cool. Good for her.
She's not that hot to be looking for the porno, but.
Right. This isn't some sort of fantastical moment in time like we remember from our youth when, you know, Paris Hilton drops the new porn.
Oh, yeah, Paris Hilton. Oh, yeah, you had to check it out. Who's the other one?
We're too overexposed to the porn, so nobody cares about porn anymore. Like, shock me by not doing a porn.
Did you see that? Dude, it was, I forgot where it was. It was really sad.
You were thinking of Kim Kardashian, by the way.
It was really sad. It was this girl who was, I forgot where it was, but it was this interview with this girl who was 18. 18 or 19, she was just graduated high school, and she was warning other high school girls about OnlyFans.
Oh, yeah.
And she was saying that you first join OnlyFans, she's like, you're going to make a lot of money in the first couple of months, and it's great, everybody's subscribing. But she was like warning them, like, if you're going to do it, make sure you do it right, release things slow, build yourself into a brand. Because she pretty much said she put herself all out there. She made a lot of money in the beginning, but then guys just got bored of her. And I was right. Like, that's so sad, you know? Like, you just put your body out there and everything. You made a little bit of money, but it's not lasting, you know?
Well, you're not really applying any talent to the entertainment, right? You're just doing the bare minimum, which anyone else could probably do. You got to be willing to go the extra length. Give me some Cirque du Soleil, you know, action. do some wild stretching or shoot some ping pongs out of the vagina. You know what I'm saying? That's why strippers get the real money, right? Because they're there with the tubes and the toys.
That goes with what she was saying. You didn't start by spitting the ping pongs out your vagina. You started by just showing your vagina, and guys were willing to pay to see it. But once they've seen it enough times, you know, think about girls who dated all these guys who got bored with you. Now imagine doing that on a global scale.
Right.
I mean? Like, a million guys are all into you, and then they get bored with you. Like, how devastating is that emotionally?
Yeah, you know? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's you're whoring yourself out. That's what the whoring is. Eventually, you're the old whore. People, you've been used. Nobody wants to, you know, have their fun with you anymore, so they go on to the next whore.
Yeah, I already had the milk. I don't need the cow, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The old saying.
And maybe the problem here, too, in America, a lot of these OnlyFans may be a little cowish, if you know what I'm saying. We're not the most in-shape country in the world, so maybe they're not giving the goods like they used to have, right? The pandemic wasn't kind to everyone.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, folks, we are at the 4-year official anniversary this week of the lockdown heard around the world. Can't even believe it, huh? 4 years have gone by. What a time warp.
Do you know what's killing me, dude? You know what I got started on today?
No way.
Chernobyl, the series. Great series, man.
Great show. Yeah, I actually did catch that one. Yeah, it's like a 6-episode mini feature.
I think it's 4 or 5 episodes. Great series. And like, it's a real true story of Chernobyl. And what kills me is you watch that first season, and it's all these like, because what they, you know, it's Ukraine that was owned by the USSR at the time.
That's right.
And so everything was like this like political thing, and you have You have a nuclear scientist trying to warn people of the danger that's coming. And then you have all these political pawns who are telling him, how dare you spread disinformation?
Right.
And they kept using the word in the series, disinformation. I had to look it up. It's crazy because it came out in 2019. This was before COVID.
Oh, and it was like
before
wow.
COVID. Dude, before COVID, we could acknowledge and we could see, oh, disinformation. That was a terrible word used by communist parties. Because disinformation is not false information. It's just information they don't want you to know. Right?
Absolutely.
And the fact that that was a clear and present tool of the USSR. You could even put it in a series like Chernobyl on HBO. But now it's just used by everyday people in America. Where like, even if it's true, it's disinformation.
Well, you know? Now we're not too far or not too different from what the people were going through in that country with a communistic-like political regime owning the media, changing the narrative, lying to the yes. populace. You know, we're kind of in the same scenario as the USSR in the 1980s.
Well, that's what's getting me about watching the series. It was like, the people you're depending on in America to like look out for you and everything, they care more about their political future and everything with the party than they do. They care more about their party than they do you. We're no different than they were back then in the USSR, you know? And we talked about in the other podcast, a couple podcasts ago, about how more and more of Gen Z, they're graduating college and taking government jobs. The government is slowly becoming the largest employer in America, and that's why it's bad. Then something like Chernobyl happens, and you have people who are, their whole family depends on keeping this government job.
Right.
You know?
Yes. Yeah, great call, man. And you know, it's funny how during the pandemic, especially in the lockdowns, we started hearing phrases that we never heard before, but then very quickly these started to become scary terms, you know, disinformation, right? Anti-vaxxer, social distancing became kind of a frightening phrase that we never thought of before. Yeah. And just everything else in between. 4 years ago, man, the time has passed quickly, but absurdly almost in slow motion in a weird way. My biggest concern during the pandemic lockdowns and the scandemic restrictions that we had to endure and the mandates, my biggest concern was revisionism history, where years later, the narrative would be spun and changed at will by our propagandist media, and all of a sudden, those who were defenders of freedom will be looked upon as the villains of the time.
Oh, dude, just go talk to your parents, bro.
Exactly.
They were right about everything.
Exactly.
Nothing they thought was wrong. Nothing they saw on MSC was wrong.
Exactly. I thought it'd be a nice way to commemorate and remember the closure of everything we know and love 4 years ago with some well-deserved and well-timed revisionist history from none other than the moron, Queen Moron over at MSNBC, Joy Reid. Let's hear it. She's going to give us the truth, Mike, about what happened and why we need to vote for Joe Biden and not Trump, because you don't remember history very well.
Okay. Well, as we mark the 4-year anniversary of the pandemic, we must note that since March of 2020, more than 1 million people have died in the U.S. due to COVID. We just need to sit with this number. For the love of God, we should at least remember it. Because history could easily repeat itself in a very bad way. As of last night, Trump and Biden are officially their party's presumptive nominees. So we need to take a hard look at these candidates, their records, their accomplishments, and the choice ahead of us. And yes, where they stand on the safety and well-being of every individual American. We're also in a unique position to evaluate these men because both of them have been president. We can compare their actual presidencies rather than vote based on their promises. Which era do you want to relive? The chaotic, frankly insane 4 years of crazy tweets, migrant kids ripped from their parents' arms, random fights with our allies, and a million bodies in the ground due to COVID? The bodies stacked up in refrigerated trucks because the hospitals ran out of room? The states fighting over ventilators, the old people dying by themselves and saying their goodbyes on iPads, the economy literally collapsing and all of us stuck in our homes for a year, kids having to graduate from high school and college on Zoom.
You know, the choices we forced on you because those were our mandates and our decisions, that was Trump's fault. You don't remember anything correctly.
And how come none of that happened in Florida?
Exactly.
Right?
Bodies and coolers. Yeah. Stacking bodies.
I love that.
Never got bodies in the streets. We never had bodies anywhere. Remember, they brought the ship.
They brought the ship. Though the only place that had bodies and coolers was New York. It was because you were putting people on ventilators and killing them. Probably exactly. In order to jack up your numbers.
Yes, because you were getting 10 grand a dead body if you just marked it as COVID.
Yes. Yes. And nobody wanted you to let these old people die behind plexiglass where their family couldn't hold their hand or touch them or see it. You know what I mean? That was you guys.
Yes,
you guys. Dude Man Mike was saying, let everybody live their life, you know?
Oh, my God, man. These were your stupid, retarded fucking rules that you guys put in place. It was the Democrats in every Democrat city. And people who were stuck in these places were looking at other states like Florida and dreaming of going to the last free place in America.
And I know that's true because even AOC went to vacation in Florida during the height of the pandemic.
Not only vacation, last year, New York City's population shrank by 78,000 people.
They not know in New York you could smoke weed, get abortions, and trans your kids?
I find it really fascinating that here we are 4 years later, and if you happen to remember that it was Democratic policies that were enforcing these draconian measures in response to a pandemic that didn't actually exist, well, then you are a tinfoil hat nut job.
That's why I'm glad we have this podcast. We have clips of us from 2-3 years ago where I'm telling you, I work in Chicago, I gotta wear a mask. I go to Indiana, nobody's wearing a mask. Right?
Yes, man.
I mean, I don't know.
By the way, take a look at the pictures of the insane idiots blocking traffic right now for whatever their current thing cause is. They're always wearing the masks. You notice this? It's the nut jobs.
Of course they are.
They got the KN95 masks on. So
yeah.
It's a cult, all right? There's some sort of brainwash going on here.
I don't want to give too much information away.
Oh, boy.
It'll give away who it is, but there was this girl we knew, and she was still wearing a mask, and there was this guy who was really interested in this girl, and they're both in their early 20s. And,
all right, yeah.
And I said, man, just go start talking to her. She'll leave her boyfriend for you. He's like, nah. And I said, dude, trust me. She's wearing the mask because her boyfriend is worried about the virus. And he said, nah. But he started talking to her. It took about 2 weeks before she dumped the boyfriend and started going with the guy who's a Trump supporter, never wore a mask.
Wow. Interesting, man.
And I told him it's because they could say all they want, but what they really want, women, is a man who's not afraid of a mysterious virus in the air. You know what I mean? You show up and you're a real man, you know, who's going to
yeah,
be
but
a man.
This is about being rational, actually, versus being absurd. If you're wearing a mask because you're afraid of the air, you're absurd. All right, like, and
it's more like women should be afraid. It's like instinctual. You're a woman. Your job, like, not your job, but like, your instincts are telling you to keep you safe, keep your children safe, right? Yes. And you're supposed to be the man who's tough enough to handle the breeze. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to be a man. You're supposed to be a leader. You're supposed to stand up to threats and not worry about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, the man is supposed to be the one to be able to withstand and willing to sacrifice, right? Aren't we to be the ones to breathe it in and take it? Because that's what the man does. You're at the front line, man. You're supposed to. We changed the pandemic, the scamdemic, man. We changed the definitions of so many words that used to have true, real world meaning, like hero, front line.
I know.
The front lines of the pandemic, man, and the heroes that were fighting it were the zit faced retard who bags your groceries at the King Supers and
hero.
And then
hero. Oh, was that some f***ing who went to Iraq 3 times in the early 2000s and now he doesn't want a vaccine? What a loser. The real hero is the guy bagging my groceries and wearing a mask.
Yeah, man. We changed hero. People started walking around confidently in public with a mask on and rubber gloves strapped to their hands. Bathing themselves in sanitizer.
Yeah.
I knew people who were sanitizing their groceries and sanitation boxes in the garage before they brought them into the home after they left the grocery store. So they'd go to the grocery store, geared up in their sanitation whatever outfits, buy the groceries, bring them home into the garage, put them in a sanitation box, whatever the hell that is, and then they'd go strip naked in the doorway and spray themselves down with whatever and bathe in the sanitation goo, and then they'd go into the sanitation box and spray down the new groceries and scrub down the vegetables and everything. I mean, wow, dude. It's crazy. Looking back, when I was younger, I really loved the movie 12 Monkeys with Bruce Willis. And, they're time traveling to find the original moment when this virus is unleashed on the public and they all have to go underground. And, you know, it's almost comical what Bruce Willis has to go through when they're scrubbing him and sanitizing him and putting him in that like clear suit and all this stuff and sending him out into the real world that's allegedly got this virus out there. And dude, people lived like that for a year, genuinely, confidently, and made fun of you for mocking them.
Oh, dude, you know who Bert Kreischer is?
Yes,
the comedian.
I do. Yeah.
I used to think he was great. I used to listen to his podcast. I thought it was really funny. But I remember when COVID started and every podcast he would do, he would just be like, you know, I wear a mask. And you know what? When I go shopping, I take my stuff and I put it in the garage for 48 hours. And I don't get why everybody can't do that. We just need to do what we can. We need to social distance. We need to get the vaccine. We need to. And I was just like, dude, I still to this day cannot listen to. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, you are this like, you're like a 6'2", 250-pound football, like ex-football player. Like, you should be this big manly man, and you were fucking quarantining your food in a garage. Like, dude, go fuck yourself, bro.
Bogus logic that was applied to people's actions is mind-blowing and indefensible, yet here we are. We got Joy Reid and everybody else trying to revise the history that we remember very much so, because it was such a jarring and shocking experience for those of us on the other side who weren't being brainwashed, watching the zombies just play along with anything and everything the media machine told them.
Dude, I can't bring it up enough. Frank and his fiance wanted to come to Chicago to visit the family, and our family lost their shit. Oh my God, Frank and Emma, they're Republicans. They don't even believe in the virus, so they couldn't come because they were gonna kill Nona.
Oh yeah.
So Frank Frank didn't come visit the family because they were worried, because all these fucking losers in Chicago were like, they're going to kill Nona. And then what happened? 3 weeks later, they take Nona to Tennessee. They took her across three states to go visit, to meet in a cabin with our aunt from Florida. Right? And I remember our father looking me in the eyes and saying, Mike, me and your mother follow the science. We
science.
We know how to keep Nona safe. From a virus?
Yes, but they...
You, the network engineer, and our mom, a secretary at a hospital, you know how to stop a respiratory virus from infecting my grandma while you take her on a cross-country trip? Oh, I mean, that's amazing in itself. And all you had to do was listen to Dr. Fauci? Holy shit, that's a miracle. But in the meantime, my brother from Colorado can't come visit because him and his diseased girlfriend are going to infect everybody. You know what I mean? It was like insanity in the way they justified their actions. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, but you're not looking at the real statistics and the true science behind the mechanisms that informed these decisions. The county that they were visiting in Tennessee voted Joe Biden plus 12 points in the 2020 election.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It was overwhelmingly Democrat where they were visiting. And everybody knows this COVID, which is the most intellectual disease in the history of the planet, also politically very biased and only attacks Republican-leaning counties.
I don't know if you know this about COVID. It flew an I'm with her flag outside its door every day. COVID virus was with Hillary. So.
Yeah, man. That's
what
you
insanity,
forget, dude.
The insanity is the thing that you could protect your loved one from a respiratory virus. You know what I mean? It was the insanity that went with that. That's like one of those things I can never forgive. The way people acted during COVID, I'll never forgive.
And they now want you to dismiss the fact that they forced, through mandates, everybody to take their experimental gene therapy, which a lot of people speculated at the time. Many of us who didn't take it thought, you know, there's a possibility for some health effects, some adverse side effects that we weren't intending that could be a part of this. And here we are now, 4 years later, right? And Daily Mail puts out the article, which I thought I sent to you, Global Cancer Phenomenon. Cancer is spiking at astronomical levels throughout dozens of countries. And they name a few right off the bat. UK, Japan, South Africa specifically.
South Africa. And the only African country. There's one country in the entire African continent, and it's the one that took the vaccine.
Yes.
The only one.
In Australia, right? So those US, UK, Japan, and what common thread links these countries? And you are correct, sir. The only one in Africa, South Africa. These are the countries that mandated the vaccines.
It's even worse than that, because I literally told everybody, do not take the vaccine. They didn't have enough time to test it. They don't know what's going on. They don't know the long-term side effects. Now, 4 years later, you're like, hey, look, there's high excess mortality. And the scariest part is it's among people 30 and 40. Like, it's terrible. And you know what I've heard three times already? Well, Mike, I mean, they had to rush out a vaccine. They didn't have time to test it. That's what I said! That's what I was telling you! I was telling you they didn't have time to test it. Don't tell me they didn't have time to test it. I was telling you they didn't have time to test it.
It's crazy, you know, that they link this to politics and people try to claim, oh, Trump supporters are the anti-vaxxers. And it's like, dude, Trump's name is tattooed onto Operation Warp Speed.
It's his vaccine.
And it was a lot of Trump supporters saying, hey, I like the guy for president, but I'm not going to take his Warp Speed experimental gene therapy.
I will vote for RFK over Donald Trump because of the vaccine. That's what you don't understand.
Oh, the vax is a very divisive a topic, man. And I don't think people realize that it has nothing to do with politics, really. We can see ultimately just who was truly bought for and paid by Big Pharma.
That's really what COVID was. It was the great exposure.
Yes.
You really got to see who was bought and paid for. Did you see that thing about Trump, though, with the Kennedy assassination?
No, enlighten me, please.
Where he was asked, why you promised to reveal who killed Kennedy. Why didn't you reveal it? And he told the reporter, if you saw what I saw, if they told you what they told me, you wouldn't reveal it either. And he said, maybe one day when we're on the phone and there's not 15 people listening, I'll tell you.
I have seen this. It is in, it's a conversation, I believe, with Judge Napolitano, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that who it is?
Yeah. And he, I think, asked him privately, I think, and but it wasn't so private. But yeah, Trump allegedly knows, but knows enough to know not to say anything. which should make everybody a little bit frightened, right? Like that's the power, really, of the Club of Rome and the Committee of 300, right? The Illuminati.
Think about how scary that is, you know?
Yes, dude. Absolutely frightening stuff.
What do
man.
They show you? They gotta bring you to a basement where you see your clone, you know, or something.
The clone, yeah, you love that theory. I'm a big fan of it as well.
Or they take you into the basement where JFK is still locked up.
You know, the Q people, I believe, are subscribed to an idea that JFK and maybe or also JFK Jr. are still alive. And I think that's a huge focal point of the... whatever the Q thing is about. I'm not totally subscribed to it, but I do believe that they go down that route with the some element of JFK and or JFK Jr. still being alive and from behind the scenes orchestrating all this covert takeover, retakeover of America, the reverse coup d'etat, something along those lines.
Maybe. We don't have enough time for me to give my opinion because I do want to give you credit. Before we run out of time here. I think you were right about Kate Middleton.
Ooh, I didn't see that one coming.
Even Bill Maher mentioned the fact that she's been seen with... the only person who talks about... the only witness who supposedly has seen her in the last, 80 days or something, they said that she was seen without her wedding ring.
Oh, yeah. Hey now,
dude! He beat the shit out of that girl.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I gotta give. I'm gonna go ahead and concede on this one. I think Frank is right. I think he beat the shit out of her, and she wants a divorce. And I think that's why you don't see Kate Middleton.
Well,
anymore.
You don't know why he beat her up though. She found out that he's actually a reptilian human hybrid Anunnaki. Alien, dude, come on! She found the truth! The royal bloodline, or, Anunnakis, man!
Or they found the picture with her and Hunter Biden on the laptop.
Oh! Oh, yeah, man!
I don't know, man. I think he's just an abusive guy. I think you're right. I think he beat the shit out of her and left. She left. And that's why they gotta do the Photoshop, and that's why they gotta do all that.
Very possible, yeah. And I think, too, maybe he did the old kind of fisticuffs routine on her because, she may have found out the truth about the bloodline. That is a huge part with the kind of reptilian theories out there and the alien kind of hybrid bloodline, and it's why the royals are so specific about containing the bloodline and only mixing in certain directions and all that, which is why the Meghan Markle situation is... horrifying to them, and they got to basically eliminate her too, and maybe Kate Middleton, maybe not the proper bloodline, just like what's her name, Diana. So they got to eliminate the, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe they had kids that were too human.
That's right. So they got to bump them off.
getting rid of him, you know what I mean? Bringing some, I don't know.
I read this thing.
I don't know about the whole lizard thing, but I do think he's probably, he probably beat the shit out of her.
Very possible. There's always something up with these chicks. I mean, I read something recently. It was a correspondence that Diana had with a friend of hers prior to her dying, where she claimed to the friend and to many people that someone was tampering with her brakes and she had to keep changing cars because she, and they thought she was like nuts, but she kept saying, no, they're messing with my brakes. They're messing with my brakes. And then sure enough, you know, she's in that alleged high speed chase with the paparazzi and the brakes give out
the
and they,
paparazzi.
And then they crash, dude. So, you know, I don't know about this royal family, man. They're obsessed with that bloodline. So, maybe they don't want it tainted. They just got to, we didn't even get to the clip that I have about it, but and we'll do it on the Wednesday show. But, you know, more juicy stuff is coming out with this Boeing whistleblower who got obviously bumped off in the parking lot. I mean, he told friends within like 24 hours between being killed that if I die, I was killed. I'm not suicidal. Like, I did not kill myself. Like, there's lots of people saying, like, he told adamantly a lot of people, if I die, they killed me.
Dude, no joke. Dude, no joke. He literally, like, told everybody.
Yes.
I'm not suicidal. Please, you know what I mean?
And that's why I always listen to the people who say I'm not suicidal, but let me tell you this, all right? Because make sure you remember that caveat before they divulge their fantastical information. And if anyone prefaces anything with I'm not suicidal, pay attention because it's going to be a good story. It's going to be a really good story, dude.
And with that being the 1 hour, I must say I am not suicidal. That's why I must play this song.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's the fastest hour in the universe. And to our Chinese overlords, we're so sorry.
We love you so, so much.
We will accept yen. That's right. You heard it first. Yen and or BRICS currency, whatever you want to pay us for our super awesome podcast.